Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
I believe there's no greater proof of a God in heaven than the existence of the modern state of Israel. Israel is God's time clock, and to me, his most obvious sign that he is the one true God, and of course, a sign of his soon coming. To the doubter, I would ask, what other nation has been expelled from its land for 1900 years and scattered around the world and yet kept its own identity? What nation completely ceased to speak its original language, except with a prayer book, and saw it become the official language of a resurrected country? You know, I was just in Ireland, and they've been working to resurrect the language there, right? The Irish language. They haven't had the success that Israel has had by any means. They still speak a lot of English. But Israel is a Hebrew-speaking nation now.
Oh, amen.
What other people lost 6 million souls in a genocidal Holocaust? And then 3 years later, faced the invasion of five Arab Muslim nations, united in one purpose, to utterly destroy the newborn Jewish state. And guess what? Israel defeated them. Many of the Holocaust survivors who straggled to the shores of the Holy Land had to fight the Arab armies even before they understood enough Hebrew to follow the instructions of their military commanders. What's more, the total number of Jews that were in Israel, in the land, in 1948, was a grand total of 700,000 men, women, and children. What other nation has ever had its past and present and future accurately recorded and foretold by a succession of prophets living hundreds of years apart, starting some 3,500 years ago? If anyone is not yet convinced, let him answer this question. Who can prophesy about any nation on earth as to what its future will be in 100 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about 1,000 years? The Bible reveals as an indispensable key of understanding Israel that the conflict in the Holy Land today is categorically a war between God and his promises to the Jewish people versus the God of this world, whose principal weapons are Islam and the United Nations, which is virtually occupied, controlled by Islam. And all of this miracle came to pass because of the relationship God had with Abraham. Now, just to quickly review, let's talk about just four sentences, four major promises that God gave to Abraham. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. If you could see the difference between Israel and the standard of living of the nations around, you would understand. You would, and they don't have to be that way, but I will curse those that curse you. Genesis 22:18. In your descendants, okay, descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Promise. Genesis 15:18. I will give your descendants this land from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. That's a bit more than even Israel is today. Genesis 17:7, I will establish an everlasting covenant to be a God to you, Abraham,
yes,
and to your descendants.
Amen.
So, yet we know that there are many Christians who believe that the state of Israel of today has nothing to do with God's promises. Abraham, you know that. In fact, they believe that the Christian church has replaced Israel. Now, that would be a really lousy heaven if only one tribe got to heaven, Israel. No, God has promised every nation, every tongue, every language, every group, they're all going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So, let us see. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say concerning this issue. Okay? We will look at chapter 11 of Romans, but I'm going to change a few words, if you will let me. When it says you, meaning Israel, or they, meaning Israel, I'm going to say the word Israel, or Jews. And when it says Gentiles, I'm going to say Britain. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now, Gentile, very important for you to always remember, the word Gentile does not mean a second-class type of people. It is the word in Hebrew for nations, or nation. God told Abraham, I am going to make a great goy out of you, a great nation. And so when you see the word Gentiles, it means and is in Hebrew nation. So here we go. I'll start with Romans 10:20, right before Romans 11. Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those in Britain who did not seek me. I was made manifest to the British who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Romans 11:1. I say then, has God cast away his people, the Jews? Certainly not. Wow. That smashes replacement theology right there. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his Israeli people, whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 Jewish men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant of Jews according to the election of grace. And if by grace there's no longer works, and so on. Verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks. But the elect of the Jews have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given the Jewish people a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. Let's skip to verse 11. I say then, have the Jews stumbled that they should fall? What does it say? Certainly not. But through the fall of the Jewish people, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles, including Britain. Now, if the fall of the Jewish people is riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the nations, including Britain, how much more their fullness. We're going to see this word another time, fullness. I'm believing that that is when Israel gets saved, right?
Amen.
For I speak to you British believers, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the nations, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those Jews who are my flesh and save some of them. For if the Jewish peoples being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Life from the dead. Now, Joseph is a fabulous example of Israel right here. He was hated by his brothers. They wanted to kill him. They were ready to kill him. They sold him to the Gentiles. And because of the sin of those brothers, Jacob became the savior of the known world there and was able to save his brothers. Isn't that magnificent? So in the same way, Israel's fall in God's strategy, he brought Yeshua to the world. The devil killed him thinking that was it. And it undid everything the devil ever planned to do.
Amen.
So, folks, for if the first fruit, now the first fruit is Abraham here, is holy. The lump is holy. The lump is the descendants. Descendants is also holy. And if the root, which is Abraham, is holy, so are the Jewish branches, the Jewish people. And if some of the Jewish people were broken off, and you British believers, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among the Jews, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the Jewish branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Amen. You know what a joy and a privilege it is for me to be here with you. There needs to be a church like this in every village and town and city in Britain. You would see a great revival, I can promise you. So I continue here. Verse 19. You will say then, the Jewish branches were broken off that I, Britain, might be grafted in. Well said. Yeah. Because of the unbelief, the Jewish people were broken off. And you in Britain stand by faith. Do not be haughty. You know, to be replacement theology, I really think a person has to be haughty. I mean, you know, God's finished with the Jews. and replace, you know what replacement theology is, right? The church has taken Israel's place. Now, if you really think about that, God did what he did. He came against Israel because of their sins, okay? And so now if the church has replaced, the church has been holy through 2,000 years, right? No sin in the church, no problems anywhere, just angelic. So you'd have to say, look, if God rejected the Jews for their sin forever, well, he's going to have to reject the church.
That's good.
But he's not. He's not. Because we're going to see what he says about Israel. You will say, the Jewish branches were broken off that I, Britain, might be grafted in. Well said, because of the unbelief, the Jewish people were broken off, and you in Britain stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. If God did not spare the Jewish peoples, the natural branches, he may not spare Britain either.
That's right. That's right.
You see, it's the fear of God we have to have. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those Jews who fell. Severity, but towards you, Britain, goodness. If you British believers continue in his goodness, it's not by our works, is it? It's by him. His goodness. Otherwise, you, Britain, also will be cut off. He said it. He said it. You Gentiles will be cut off. And the Jews also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft the Jews in again. For if you, British, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these Jewish people, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Isn't that great? For I do not desire, brethren, that you British believers should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness, salvation, Holy Spirit coming upon. I believe they're going to be parallel, really, I do, you know. It says in Joel, afterwards. Well, what's the afterwards? If you read the before words, it's meaning that God is bringing the Jewish people and Israel back into his bosom. There's a whole, it's beautiful, you know, lyric Joel, but it says in afterwards, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So, you see, Israel isn't the only thing. Believe me, it is a piece of God's puzzle. But you got to have that piece, or there's just a big empty spot there where that piece should be. So, until the fullness of the nations come in, and then this is one of our favorite verses, and so all Israel shall be saved. You know, in our congregation in Israel, we have a song, and we sing it, all Tel Aviv shall be saved, all Haifa shall be saved, all Jerusalem shall be saved, all Ashdod will be saved, and so on and so on. Yes, that's what it says, folks. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob is, of course, Israel. And for this is my covenant with them. Remember what the covenant was? Forever. When I take away their sins. When I take away the sins of Israel. And believe me, we live in the Tel Aviv area, and it is a terribly sinful place. But when I see what's going on in the United States, you can't say, well, something's better. I mean, the world is going to pot. We know that. And it's another tremendous sign, as far as I'm concerned, that the Lord is coming soon. Because it punishes sin, and he's going to redeem his own. So I believe a lot of persecution is coming in different ways. You know, it'll be that evil is said to be good, and good is said to be evil. And that's exactly what's happening in the world today. Verse 28, concerning the gospel, the Jewish people are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For the gifts and callings of God for Israel, it's talking about Israel here, are irrevocable. In other words, nobody will replace Israel. For as you British believers were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through the disobedience of the Jewish people. Even so, these Jews also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you British believers, the Jewish people also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience. Now, this is a very important point. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. So he's going to explain this now a little bit more. Then Romans 3, it says, what then? Are we, meaning, well, here, are we British better than they, than the Jews? Not at all. This is what Paul said. For we, Paul says, have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Now, that's the important thing to understand. You know, you can't be saved until you humbly come before God and say, I am a sinner. So replacement theology leaves all of that out, you know. You understand? Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Now this verse, 19 and 20, that's coming up, is to me one of the key verses of the Bible concerning nations and Israel. Here's what it says. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those Jews who are under the law, it says it to the Jews. The law talks to the Jews. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. No flesh, no Jews, no nations. For by law is the knowledge of sin for the world. Some years ago, a pastor came to Israel and told this story, and I've never forgotten it. He was saying that in Tennessee, in the United States, in the Appalachians, which is a very poor area, there was a village, and then all the people in that village suddenly just got sick, very, very sick. So they sent for the officials from the capital to come and investigate what had happened in their little town. Well, these officials went straight to the little village well, and they scooped up a tube of it, and they took it back to headquarters, and they tested it, and it was totally polluted, totally polluted. They came back, they looked in the well, and this pig and his little piglets had fallen into the well and polluted the whole thing. Okay, here is my point. Those officials did not have to take all the water out of that well to see if it was polluted or not. One little test tube showed that the whole thing was. Israel has been God's test tube. The law of Moses was actually given to show the Israeli people and to show the world that they're sinners. They can't keep it. There's nothing they could do to keep all the law. And so, God is concerned about Israel. It's his test tube. Okay, we know sinners. We know it's for the whole world. But God has a plan. God has a plan for Israel. What's his plan? That Israel will return to the land of Israel and to the God of Israel. Amen. That is his plan. Amen. Now, why? Because part of his plan is that the Jewish nation would be a light to the Gentiles. You know? Isaiah 60:3, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to your brightness. You see, that goes with that verse, all the nations of the world will be blessed by your descendants. Well, what could be greater blessing than salvation, right? Yeah. And Paul and Barnabas, they picked up on this in Acts 13:47. They said, the Lord has commanded us. They were two Jewish guys. I have set you as a light to the nations, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Through your descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So many verses. Oh, there's so many. Isaiah 2:3, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Okay, not out of New York, not even London. It's going to happen, but it's going to start somehow in Jerusalem, because God, you know where Yeshua's coming back, right? Jesus is coming back there. Amen. Now, guess what? God loves the Arab people. He loves the Arab people. Do you know he gave the Arab people 500 times more land than he gave to the Jews? But you see, here's the deal. Here's where the devil comes in. It's not enough that they have 500 times more. They want that land, the land of Israel. They want that city, Jerusalem. You know why? Because that's where Yeshua is going to be. Amen. Right now they're saying, well, give us Eastern Jerusalem as a Palestinian place. Okay? So let me ask you a question. When Yeshua comes back on the Mount of Olives, he's going to be looking. You know what he says? I'm not coming back. Yeshua said, I'm not coming back until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jehovah, not Allah, Jehovah. So that is why this terrific war, constant war, it's not about not having land. They have land. It's that they want that place. They want the temple site where Yeshua, Jesus, is going to rule. So, the biggest thing of everything I can tell you is, not only are the Jewish people coming back to their land, but they are coming to the Lord. When I got there in 1967, I got there 3 months after the Six-Day War, and it's a long story, which I'm not going to go into, but I decided to stay. I was on a tour tour with my parents. But the war had just taken place, and I had opportunities to hear many of the soldiers, what they went through on the Golan Heights and in the Sinai Desert. You know, there's been thousands of Israeli soldiers killed in the wars over, thousands. And just in part of the wars, there have been 100,000 people wounded. And that's a little country, right? You've only got 8 million people. So God is doing something in Israel. And really, I'm here to tell you about that. That's more important to me than what I just told you, okay? What God is doing is that he is bringing his people now back to himself.
Amen.
So I want to show you a slideshow so you can see some faces of what is happening. As I told you, when I first came, maybe there were 10 people in the whole country that I knew of, and I went everywhere, that believed that Jesus was his Messiah. But now we talk about 30,000, some people say 50,000. I saw a newspaper article about the Messianic Jews said 30,000. So that's a big jump, isn't it, from 10 people? And we're just going, you know, it's just gaining traction all the time. So I'm going to show you some slideshow here. Let's start. First, I want to tell you this, that our daughter and son-in-law, we have decided a year and a half ago that we were going to transition, and they're going to take the leadership. Woo-hoo! And they are already. They're really going to town. Now, they're going to go much further than we. Shani is a singer, and both of them are musicians. God dropped out of the sky in Jerusalem one of the best studios in the whole country, and now all kinds of people are coming in and using it. In fact, some Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, came and they wanted to use the studio. And so our son-in-law, Kobe, said, well, I just want you to know this is a Messianic Jewish studio. And they said, oh, don't tell anybody, but we like the Messianic music. They can get it on YouTube, you see. So here we go. All right, start. Yes, there's the first picture. This was a movie. Yaakov Damkani, who we've always called our number one evangelist in Israel, ours meaning all of the believers in the country, he would be out on the streets and always preaching on the streets, and he brought many, many people to the Lord. And this was his life story. He was a gangster. The guy was a gangster. And he came to the Lord, and he's been bold as a lion. And it was made into a movie, a very good movie, by the way, not a hokey movie. And it was in theaters all over Israel. This was absolutely a breakthrough for our people. Okay, next. This young man was in the army. He was in the war, the Gaza war, in 2014. And he got PTSD. He could not sleep. He simply never went to sleep. And the military hospitals were not able to do anything for him. I don't want to... Oh, you've got it over there. And so he was in a mental, a psychiatric hospital of the military. And so one night he was listening to TV. And he saw some program on TV. We do have Christian TV in Israel now.
Amen.
Yeah. And so he said to his nurses, I want a Bible with a New Testament. And they said, well, we don't have Bibles with New Testament. I want a Bible with a New Testament. So they thought, well, they'll cuddle him. And so they went out to our main bookstore, Stymaski's, to get a Bible with a New Testament. And they said, well, we don't have a Bible with a New Testament. So he came back and said, well, I'm sorry, you know, I want a Bible with a New Testament. So they went to some Anglican church, and the military did this, and went in and said, do you have a Bible with a New Testament? And they said, yes. And could we have one? Gave it to them. So now this young man did not know a word in English. He got a dictionary. I don't know if it was a hardcover, or he got it on his phone. He looked up every word and started learning the Bible. To jump ahead, he's completely healed, out of the hospital, in the congregation that Ari and I started, and now is run by a young Israeli guy, which we're thrilled about, Gil Ofriat. This is he right here. And next picture. Here he is being baptized in the Mediterranean Sea. Next. Here is this guy here, Moti Cohen, was one of our first guys who came to the Lord many years ago. He's now an elder in Tiferet Yeshua congregation. And here they are, and this girl said, I want to be baptized in the Jordan River. So there they are. Next. This is Tanya, who is one of the worship leaders in Tiferet Yeshua. Tiferet Yeshua. Tiferet means to the glory, and Yeshua. So the glory of Yeshua is the name of the congregation. And so Tanya also is an employee of Ma'oz, she and her husband. And they do a lot of the music. They also run a school of 60 kids. They run it by Skype, and then they have, of course, recitals. And it's been going for 8 years. We have 60 kids that we give scholarships. They're all Messianic children that are in congregations. And we are raising up a new generation of worshipers. Of course, Shani, our daughter, and Kobe, they're thrilled with that because that's right down their lane. Their vision is to raise up worship out of Zion. That is where they're at, and they're really, really going to town on it. Okay, so next, she is recording some of the children for CD, and we do have CDs with these kids. It's great. Next. Here's a recital. There's my husband, Ari. And these kids are really great. This guy and this one, and I don't know about the other one, they were just in an international contest in Jerusalem, and they all three won. I don't exactly know what they won, but they came back as winners. So next. This is Mikedem. It is a rock group. It's not a rock group. What is it? It's a youth group. It's a band, okay? They are great. They're great. They're actually now going all over Europe and United States. We help them get started. We love to help other ministries. You see, we have our own programs like the children's worship and other things, but we also see if somebody else has a real vision, they're going to town with it, and we can help them financially to really make it go. Well, what's better than that? So that's what we do. Next. This is a new one. This is a new breakthrough. These three guys are Arabs from Nazareth, and they are fabulous musicians and unbelievable believers. I mean, I said to Shani, where did these guys come from? But they are really, really people, young, very mature, and fabulous musicians. And so we've just finished a whole CD that's coming out in a week or so of their music. Next. We also support several Arab ministries. This gal is a Muslim that's just come to the Lord. This is the wife of the people, George, that we support. And God's doing something. This is on the West Bank. That's why we have to cover their eyes. Their lives are in danger. Next. Here's an Arab being baptized in the Jordan River. Yeah. Next. This is a children's camp. Now, a lot of these are Muslim children, and they are being sent to a Christian camp, of which George is over that. And, you know, they're Muslim, but, hey, you can get rid of your kids for a week, you know, at this camp. So they come home with Bibles and books. They're taught Bible stories while they're there and have lots of fun. And this is a yearly thing. We've helped them with this year by year. Next. This is another group that we've helped for many years, Katsir. Katsir means harvest. These are teenagers. And we totally understand that if we can keep teenagers with the Lord through those years, they're going to make it. And so this has been a program that we've helped for many, many years. And this is just one of the camps. They have about four camps a year during, you know, when their school's out, over the holidays. So Katsir is one of our very, very precious ministries that we help. Next. Okay, these guys, they just finished high school. They graduated, all of them. And within 2 months, they would be soldiers. Yeah. And so this guy right here, you see him right here? This one. Joel Rosenberg. Joel Goldberg. Excuse me. Joel Goldberg had a brother that went into the army and didn't come out a believer. And that so broke his heart. He said, I am going to start camps for, you know, before they go into the army and make sure they're really, really solid with the Lord. So he's doing a fabulous work. And he also has, you know, conferences or little services on weekends, even for the soldiers. So when they come back, they can attend and get revived again, you know, because they're in a very difficult situation. Sometimes the commanders are totally gentle and welcoming about messianic believers. Others, you have really tough guys and really persecute them and hurt them. So, and of course, friends. They make friends out of these so that they're not the Lone Ranger, you know, in the army. Amen. So this is also a very important ministry. Next. This is Moti Cohen again. He loves the poor. And so he has Feed Tel Aviv program. And he goes out with other believers every weekend and feeds them and witnesses to them. And we have several in our congregation now that came off the streets of Tel Aviv. Yeah. Next. We also have a program called I Stand With Israel. And the goal of that is if we can help raise the standard of living of the Messianic Jewish community, we're doing a good thing. They're much better witnesses than if they're just barely, you know, don't know where the next meal's coming from, or they don't have any kind of skills to go into the labor market. So these kids are going to college. We gave them scholarship, and we do that. We've done that years, and we have a lot of strong Messianic Jews who have good jobs, even in some of the city offices of the government and so on. So thank the Lord. Next. And we're a publishing company. We saw years ago, when we started our own congregation, we saw that the Israelis who spoke only Hebrew, they grew slower somehow in the Lord. And so we began to think, okay, there's hardly any books at all, hardly any books in Hebrew. And so we began publishing them, and we have now 80 books online in our Maoz bookstore in Hebrew, and we've also put 20 of those on an ebook company. Now, there's only one ebook company in Israel, and they don't want any Jesus anything. So anything that looks on the cover, we've kept those back slowly, slowly. But a lot of our books inside have Jesus, see? Amen. So we have 20 books on this ebook, and we're putting them all on Amazon in Hebrew. And so now we are beginning to get quite a few non-believers ordering our books. I asked about the one book, Five Love Languages. Have you ever heard of that book? That is our number one bestseller, and many, even the Orthodox, are buying that. And then they, you know, then they go back and they look at other things. So this is something that we continue to do. We have a board member, Jonathan Burness, which you might have heard of his name. He said, this is the most important thing you guys are doing. So I don't know. But anyway, we love doing it. And I love books. And when I'm witnessing to somebody, I have a book to give to them. Because that's just the way I am. I think, you know, people can read the book and they can't talk back to the book, you know. Next. And there's other people who say this is our most important project. This is a project of 3 years. And why are we doing this? Most Israelis do not read the Bible at all, period. They have a bit of it in school, and usually very boring atheist teachers. And so they never look at it again. And the main reason, there's other reasons, but a very important reason is the Hebrew is very, very, very difficult. Amen. And so that the average or even college person in Israel, they can't understand what they're reading in Hebrew. So here's what we're doing. This is called the Narrated Bible. We've joined hands with the Israel Bible Society, and we're working with that together with them. We've got the best scholars in the country, believing scholars, and we're working on this. We have monthly meetings because I want to make sure it's good for the Jews. Now, the Bible, you don't touch it. It stays exactly. No Jew would read a Bible if they felt somebody was tinkling, you know, worrying about changing words. No. But what this Bible has, it has introduction to each section, so you know what you're going to read about. This is King David, and this is what he did, and he was living in Hebron, and then he moved to Jerusalem. And then it has titles, captions, every few paragraphs, so you know what you're going to read about. And then at the bottom, the hard words, the words that people don't know what they mean because either they're just too old. We have a dictionary at the bottom, so people will know every page what it is. Now, the most interesting part to me is that it is in chronological order. Amen. So it reads beautiful. In fact, I read it myself. I used to read a different Bible each year, but I've read this one for 5 years now because it's just so interesting because, you know, you get the prophets, which kings were they talking to, and in the New Testament, if Paul is talking about being in Ephesus or somebody, then the Ephesians comes up. It's beautifully done in chronological order. The scriptures are exactly written as in any Bible in Hebrew, but this is going to, I believe, I have a vision. to get one of the main Hebrew newspapers, get a full page ad when this is finished and put it on there, and you sell it, because if you gave it away free, then, oh, those are missionaries that are just trying to, you know. So you give it to a decent price and say, this is the new, and describe what it is, and put it in newspaper, full page ad. I can't wait to do that. So this is a 3-year project. We're a year and a half through it, and it is around a $45,000, pounds, 45,000 pounds, but it is worth every penny. And you know what? We've gotten almost all the money, and we really haven't said that much about it. But people understand a Bible. What's more important?
Amen.
You know, Chuck Pierce? I mean, I know him a little bit, but we went to the Guatemala embassy when, Trump recognized Jerusalem, and so Guatemala did the same thing. So we were invited there by the chief rabbi, which Ari is a friend with from Guatemala. And who's sitting there? Chuck Pierce. Oh, he says, I have him offering for you. I want to be in on this Bible. I don't even know how he knew about it. But anyway, we're really moving along on it. It's going great. Next, please. So this is our congregation. There's a couple of pictures of it. And this is all going to be totally redone now and put it on for live streaming and everything as it grows. We're going to expand all those building their rooms there and on this side. Next, show the next one. So this is the congregation. It's doing really, really well. And next, same one. Next. This is a Ethiopian congregation that we support. And next. This is an Arab congregation that we support. So now you see basically what we do. I'm going to show you now a video of about 4.5 minutes, and that'll give you a little more information of what we're doing.